In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The gospel reading today is from Mark chapter 3, verses 22 and 35. But the rest of the Orthodox churches start this gospel off at verse 19, not verse 22. And it's important because it says something that is hard to understand initially, and maybe that's why our church decided to dispense with it. But the first three verses are, after Jesus had named the disciples, he came back to his house. And when it was known that he was in his house, so many people gathered around him that it's written in the gospel, I think it's verse 20, that there was not even room to eat. And you know, for Jews, every single thing in the Jewish calendar is about food. Not one thing is not about food. They have different foods, but they are always gathered around food, which of course is a symbol of the food of the table to come that belongs to the Lord alone. But at any rate, his mother, his brethren, they thought he had been possessed by a spirit. And when you say a spirit, they're not talking the spirit of God, they're talking about an evil spirit. So they too thought that he was possessed of a spirit, and they sought to tie him, because that's how you would control somebody who had had an evil spirit indwelling, because they would do things that were irrational, and it would keep everybody else safe and the individual himself safe if he were bound. And the word that they use in the gospel is, they thought he was beside himself, not in his right mind. Now, when we think about the Holy Virgin Saint Mary, we think of her as what she is. And there are more titles than I can possibly remember for the Holy Virgin Saint Mary. But being the Mother of God, the birth giver, the Theotokos, people focus on this. What they don't focus on is that she was as we are. This is not the theology of the Roman Catholic churches. It's not that. But for us, she had need of a savior. She was not born immaculately. She needed to have someone to save her. And her knowledge of her son was not perfect simply because she gave birth to him and raised him to be a man. She went in this company, and it's a hard thing for people to hear. But listen as I scroll on and you'll understand why it's significant. Remember when Jesus was 12 years old and he wasn't found in the company of his parents as they were returning? What did the parents say? We were worried. Where were you? What were you doing? And what did he say in return? He looked at them and said, don't you know? Don't you know? Of all people, don't you know I have to be about my father's business? Why didn't she know that? Why didn't she know that? Because everything in the life of a human is evolving. It's not pure. We're not born like, for example, a spider is. The spider doesn't think for a moment about how to make a web. The spider just makes it. And the web is beautiful. And it's strong, and it is effective. It's his home and his trap for food. We're not like this. When you see a little kid in church and they're walking, you see them stumble and fall. How many times do we stumble and fall, not just physically, but stumble and fall intellectually, or stumble and fall spiritually? We all stumble and fall. To think of Saint Mary as somebody who is outside of this is a distortion of her humanity. Because remember this, if Jesus didn't take my sinful flesh, then I do not participate vicariously in all of his salvific acts. So Saint Mary couldn't have been of a different flesh than me or you. She had to be of the same flesh because that's what he took. If she was somehow some perfect flesh, then she's not like you. And so therefore your salvation is in question, because she was saved, certainly, but us, no. So yes, we believe that Saint Mary was in need of a savior. She was in need for someone to reconcile her humanity with the Father's divinity. Now, as we go on, there was a sense, and you've heard this in certain movies, where they ask in an exorcism for the devil to be named. If you can name a devil, then you can control that devil by using a higher name. You can appeal to the hierarchical authority of the demonic world. Even in the book that many of you have read by C.S. Lewis called The Screwtape Letters, don't forget Screwtape was an advanced devil, and he was the uncle of Wormwood, and Wormwood was a lesser devil. And the uncle would give advice about what to do in this case or that other case, prescriptive advice about how to, you know, gather souls. And the younger would listen to the elder, or the less important to the more important. So it wasn't a stretch of the imagination that they said, well, you're doing these signs and these miracles because what's really happening is the devil wants to focus on you. And so what he's going to allow you to do is to appear to have loosened these people from their demonic possession by some power. But it's really my power. It's really my power. I'm loosening them. That's what the people thought. And Jesus said, look, let's just dispense with all of this emotionalism or these old stories. Let's use logic. If A casts out A, where's A gonna live? It's a syllogism. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. This is the most elemental kind of logic. How can Satan drive out Satan? If Satan drives out himself, his house is divided. Where is he going to live? His house cannot stand. There is no power. There is no power in doing that, or in you thinking that. Now, if he takes that away from them, logically, what else are they then led to perhaps investigate? So he says further, you know, you can say what you want about me, and you don't have to believe what your own eyes see and your ears hear. You don't have to validate me by your human experience. And whatever you may do to sin against me, it's forgiven. But remember this, the Holy Spirit is not the object of our, and not the focus of our worship. He is the means by which we can worship entirely. Without the Spirit of God coming inside us, without the Holy Spirit, you may not say, Jesus is God. You may not say that. The fact that you can say Jesus is God means that the Holy Spirit is alive and working in you. And then suppose you say, I mean, you've gotten angry before, certainly I have. Have you ever wanted to say, Jesus, to me you are anathema? Does anybody want to say that? Like, Jesus, get out of my life. Have you ever wanted to say that? A person with the Holy Spirit cannot possibly say those things, because it is the validation of the reality of all of the things that are held above our heads supernaturally, but that we are conscious of through that spirit. So, because they said he had an unclean spirit, they were in trouble. You know, and another thing, I've said this many times in the past, if Jesus Christ is the good physician of our souls, then the Holy Spirit is the prescriptive medicine. And if we do not take the prescriptive medicine, we do not have any opportunity whatsoever to heal ourselves. And we're the ones who decide whether or not to take the medicine. We are the ones. You know, what do we say? Receive ye the Holy Spirit. Whose sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whose sins ye retain, they are retained. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, embrace him. He doesn't charge into your heart. It requires a hug, a spiritual hug. Now, then, because there was not anyone who was able to gainsay what he was speaking, they said, look, in this big multitude of people, your mother's outside. Why was his mother outside, first of all? Why were his brethren outside? They came to see, is our relative really beside himself? They came to look at this, what is going on. And imagine the people and the mindset that says, we're going to take advantage of this. Jesus, your mother and your brethren outside. And what does this mean? It means that you now can dispense with what you are doing because more important things are occurring. The flesh that gave you form, she's waiting for you. This is your mother. You know how we always wish to preserve the flesh in any situation? I've never heard a mother yet say, no matter how bad her son or her daughter was, that this son or daughter didn't have a good heart. They invariably say this. And it's the pull of the flesh. They're not judging with right judgment. They're judging according to the flesh. They're emotionally judging. And they want to trap him in the same thing that is common to every one of us. I want to make excuses for the people that I love. I'm not different than you. But I realize that at some point I have to suspend that for the sake of righteousness. So they said, come. Come, look, you can't keep your mother and your brethren waiting. And he looks at them and turns and says, who is my mother? Who is my mother? Remember, there was a woman at one point, and we read this in the Gospel of Luke, where a woman calls out from the crowd and said, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that gave you suck. Actually, it says paps, but nobody knows what paps are these days. The breast that you nursed from. And what did the Lord say immediately in contradiction to that? Blessed are they who keep the word of God. You see, Saint Mary is blessed not because she gave birth to God, but in every point along the way as she grew with her son in knowledge. And remember, it was the same with all the disciples. Remember how they were scattered at the time of his crucifixion. Remember this. There was terror, but they grew. They grew in strength, and they grew in strength. And when the Holy Spirit came, Moazi, the spirit of comfort, the spirit of truth, their backbones were straightened. They became strong. They became strident. They became true soldiers and warriors even for the sake of the Lord. But he's saying, like everyone else, My mother is no different. She is pure because she kept all these things in her heart, not just because she was the conduit, the tunnel through which I came. I passed through her. I took flesh from her. But that is not what distinguishes her above all people. What distinguishes her is that she listens. She receives. She preserves. And she acts on all the holiness. I hope this is for you and for me as well. Glory be to God forever. Amen.